Please turn again to Joshua chapter 10. My subject today is entitled, The Day the Sun Stood Still. And I want to base my remarks in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Achalim. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day, and there was no day like it before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful scene that we have here in Joshua chapter 10. And O God, as we come before thee, we thank thee that thou art still the God of miracles. We pray, Lord, that as we consider thy word today, that you would come, Lord, and speak to all of our hearts. We pray for revival. We pray for an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, today that you would come amongst us in mighty power. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. We ask thee, O God, that you would speak to all of our hearts. O God, I pray that you would fill me with thy gracious Holy Spirit as we would seek to preach this message that you've laid upon our hearts. And O God, our prayer is that you would hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. Bless us now, and bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. During the life of Joshua, he saw the Lord perform many wonderful miracles. Among the miracles that Joshua witnessed was the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the miracles during the wilderness travels, the parting of the River Jordan, the walls of Jericho falling down, and the divinely sent hailstones that we read about in Joshua chapter 10. But perhaps the greatest of all the miracles which Joshua witnessed during his lifetime was the day when the sun and the moon stood still in order to allow Joshua to finish the battle against the southern nations of Canaan. The day that is described here is known by many as the long day. God gave Joshua double time of daylight until the battle was won. And of course, if Joshua and the children of Israel received double the time of daylight, that means that somewhere else in the world, they received double the time of moonlight. The truth is that God caused the earth to slow down or to cease from turning at its usual rate of speed on its axis. The Bible says that there was never a day like it before that time, or indeed after that time. Look what it says at the beginning of verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it. What a wonderful miracle we have here taking place in this chapter of God's precious word. And very simply this afternoon, I want us to consider this miracle that we read about here in this chapter. And I pray as we do so that the Lord will bless His truth to all of our hearts. Indeed, I pray that God will write His word upon our souls. Child of God, we're living in terrible days. We're living in days of sin and apostasy. We're living in days when the devil seems to be marching forward in great might. But I believe with all my heart that God is still the God of miracles. And I pray that this word today will encourage all of our hearts, those of us who are saved, and as we leave God's house this Lord's Day, that we will get a fresh vision of the power of God. Because you know, God has not changed. God is still the same. And thank God what He did for Joshua and the children of Israel, all those many years ago, He can still do today for His people. The day the sun stood still. Or in other words, the day God intervened and sent a miracle. Because men and women, that's what we have here when we consider this day when the sun stood still. It was God intervening on the behalf of His people. As we come to consider this miracle in Joshua chapter 10, I want you to notice a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice that there was a need for a miracle. Consider with me the need for a miracle. There's no doubt that this was a day of need. Now, when you study this portion of Scripture, you will find out that in Joshua chapter 10, Israel are fighting against the Amorites. Indeed, five kings had come together to destroy the Gibeonites. And Joshua had come to help the Gibeonites. And the battle was going well. The five kings of the Amorites were being defeated. Joshua was winning the battle. And when you read the beginning of this chapter here, that is what you find out. But the day was coming to an end. The sun was beginning to set. And more daylight was needed if the battle was going to be finished. If the sun went down and the night came, many of the Amorites would escape to regroup and fight another day. Therefore, Joshua knew that he needed more hours of daylight to successfully pursue and destroy the Amorites. And for that to happen, a miracle was needed. In verse 12, Joshua is expressing his need for a miracle. Look at verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Achalon. Here in this text of Scripture, Joshua is clearly expressing his need for God to intervene. Joshua recognized, in order for him to finish the battle and to completely destroy the Amorites, that he needed a miracle. Child of God, I know that miracles are the exception and not the rule. That's why they're called miracles. Miracles are special interventions of God. Miracles are supernatural workings of God's power in time of need. I believe in this day and age in which we live, we need a miracle. In other words, we need God's intervention. We need God to intervene in our lives personally, in our families. We need God to intervene in our church, in our denomination. We need God to intervene in our nation, in our land. We need revival. We need an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit once again upon His church. And of course, revival is a miracle. And when you read of the revivals in the Bible, and when you read of the revivals in church history, they were special times of God's blessing upon His church and upon His people. And if there's a day and age when the church of Jesus Christ needs another breath from heaven, then it is this day and age in which we live. Thank God, the Lord can still perform miracles on the behalf of His redeemed people. It was the power of God that caused the sun to stand still in the sky. And it's very important when you study these words that you realize that it was God's power that was demonstrated here in causing the sun to stand still in the sky. Can God not still perform miracles? Well, I believe He can, and I believe He does. There's a wonderful text of Scripture over in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't that a wonderful text of Scripture? My friend, those words are true. And the truth is this. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, I have been emphasizing there the need for a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival to come and affect the church of Jesus Christ again. And of course, that is very needful, and we pray for that. We pray for a national revival, a national awakening. But you know, child of God, in our individual lives, God can perform miracles. Maybe there's someone here today and you're facing a situation that you've never faced before. God can work a miracle in your circumstances. Maybe you've been praying for someone for many years, and instead of them getting saved and being drawn to Christ, they seem to be running further away from the gospel. Listen to me, God can work a miracle and save them and redeem them. Whatever your circumstances are today, if it's God's will, the Lord can work a miracle. And here we see that there's nothing impossible for God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Indeed, over there in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 19, we read these words in verse 26. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What a tremendous text of Scripture that is. With men, this is impossible. But my friend, we're not talking about men doing things. We're talking about God doing things. We're not talking about men performing miracles. We're talking about God performing miracles. And in Luke chapter 1, and verse 37. Let me read you these tremendous words again. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Oh, time and time again, throughout the Word of God, the Bible reminds us, whatever our circumstances, whatever valley we find ourselves in, the Lord is able to work a miracle. And the Lord is able to do the impossible. You see, that's what a miracle is. It's God doing the impossible. What we think is impossible, thank God the Lord looks down and He says, there's nothing impossible
for me.
Oh, I believe in this day and age in which we live, there is a need for God to intervene. There's a need for God to show Himself again in the nation, in our churches, in our families, and in our individual lives. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here today
and you need a miracle? Well, the God that I serve and the God of the Bible is the God of miracles. And that's what we learn here from this portion of Scripture. There was a need for a miracle.
Now, take a look at Joshua chapter 10 again. Look at our text. And you'll notice not only the need for a miracle. God needed to intervene here if Joshua was going to complete the victory. I want you to notice the praying for a miracle. Not only was this a day of need, it was a day of prayer. The sun and the moon stood still in the sky as a direct result of Joshua praying. Now, I want you to notice that. Take a look what it says in verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. So here we have Joshua, and he's coming to pray. He's coming to speak to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And as he prays, and as he seeks the face of God, he says in the sight of all Israel, here's his prayer, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Achalon. Child of God, we need to pray for miracles. You know, it's one thing to believe that God can perform a miracle, but it's another thing to pray for a miracle. It's one thing to know that you need a miracle in your life, in your family, in your church, in our nation. But it's another thing to get before God and to pray that God would intervene in our circumstances and in our particular circumstances. But here we have Joshua. And as Joshua fights this battle, and as he's winning this battle, and as he recognizes that the battle cannot be finished unless God steps in and sends a miracle, he begins to pray. I want you to notice two things about Joshua's praying on this occasion as he prays for this miracle. I want you to notice, first of all, that the praying of Joshua for such a miracle displayed great faith. Now, did you notice that in verse 12? When Joshua prayed on this occasion, it was a public prayer. Notice that. Look what it says. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of all Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Achalon. He said, in the sight of all Israel. You know, anyone who would pray such a prayer in public had better have faith in God. Because you could make a fool of yourself very quickly. Joshua here, he didn't go away in a corner and pray this prayer, but he prayed it publicly. As I have said, he could have made a fool of himself. What if God had not performed a miracle? What if God had not intervened in the way that he eventually did? Why, this would have made Joshua look very small in the midst of Israel. But you see, and I want you to notice this, because this is very important. Joshua knew that God was on his side. What faith he had in the God of Israel. But you notice that Joshua's faith was not blind faith. But it was faith that was based upon the word of God. Because God had already promised Joshua the victory. Look at verse 8. This is before the battle began. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. My friend, when Joshua prayed in verse 12, he was praying on the basis of the promise that God had given to him in verse 8. It wasn't blind faith. Therefore, when we come to pray for miracles, we need to pray in God's will. We need to pray having received God's word. Has God given your promise? Has he? Has God spoken to you? Has God given your promise that he's going to save a loved one? Has God given your promise that he's going to bring you out of the valley that you're in? Has God given your promise that he's going to do something special in your life and in your family? Has God given you a promise? Then, when you come to pray, you can plead that promise. And if that promise has come from God, then God will honor his word and God will fulfill what he has said unto you. But you'll notice here that Joshua has great faith in praying for the sun to stand still in the sky because God had promised him complete victory over the five kings of the Amorites. And oh, child of God, that's why it is so important to get down before God and to seek the Lord's face and to read his word and to be in God's presence day by day and week by week. Because it's only as we read the word of God and study the word of God that we receive the promises from God's word. And when we receive the promises from God's word for our particular situation or our particular circumstances, then when we go to pray, we can plead those promises. That's what real praying is, child of God. That's what real praying is. It's not blind faith. It's not pleading with God in the dark. Joshua could come and pray for a miracle because he recognized that if God's word was going to be fulfilled, then God was going to have to give a miracle. Because in order for Joshua to fulfill the promise of God completely, the sun would have to stand still in the sky to give Joshua time to finish the battle and to defeat the Amorites completely. And didn't God tell Joshua in verse 8 that the Amorites would be completely defeated? That's what he's promising Joshua in verse 8. Oh, my friend, I'll tell you, when you rest upon God's word and when you plead God's word before him in prayer, you can come with confidence and you can come in faith. We have great faith, O child of God, when we pray. We do not pray with blind faith. We come to pray to the one who has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Indeed, the Bible tells us, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But notice something else about Joshua's praying here. The praying of Joshua for such a miracle displayed not only great faith, but it displayed great zeal on the part of Joshua. You know, Joshua had great zeal for the work of God and for the service of Jehovah. Joshua was dedicated in serving the Lord. He was so zealous, listen to this, he was so zealous to win this battle that he was not going to let a little thing like daylight stop him, or like nighttime stop him. Joshua wanted the daylight lengthened so that he could finish the work that he had begun. He was not satisfied with a little victory. He wanted complete victory. Now, Joshua would have been a hero this day, even if the sun had not stood still in the sky, because he had already won the battle. The battle was already won. And Joshua could have thought to himself, well, no, I've won the battle. There's no need for me to pray for a longer day. There's no need for me to pray for the sun to stand still until I completely wipe out every last one of these Amorites. The battle is won. But such was the zeal of this man. And that's what I want you to see here in his prayer. Because that's what we see about Joshua. Not only his great faith in the word of God, but we see his great zeal for the work of God. He wanted the day lengthened so that he could continue to serve the Lord in the capacity whereby the Lord had called him. Oh, child of God, is this how we pray? Are our prayers characterized with great zeal for the work of God? Maybe the reason why we don't see many miracles today is because of our lack of faith and because of our lack of zeal. Is our zeal for God abating? Are we losing our zeal? And you know, it's very easy to lose your zeal in the work of God, especially when things get hard and things get tough. Very easy to want to slow down. Very easy to want the battle to be over. But you know, child of God, the Lord has called us here to serve him, whether in the Sunday school or in the children's meetings, whether in the youth work, whether in the visitation outreach, whether in the prayer meetings, and that is a calling in itself when God's people spend time around the throne of grace and prayer. But you know, it's very easy to want to give up. Very easy to want to let someone else do the work. But we need to pray for zeal. Oh, can you see the zeal that this man had? He had fought all day in the battle. I don't believe for one minute that Joshua is standing watching on here. No, Joshua is in the midst of the battle. And he had fought hard all day. And the sun was beginning to set. Oh, as he saw that sun beginning to set, he could have said to himself, well, the day is over. There's nothing more I can do. There's nothing more that I can do. The battle has to be stopped. But then he starts to pray. And what does he pray for? He prays that the day is lengthened so that he can continue the work that God has called him to do. Child of God, the truth is this. We want the day to stop, don't we? We want the darkness to come. We want the sun to go down because we're tired and we're weary in the work. Oh, we need to pray that God will increase our zeal again for his work and in his service. Oh, if there's a day and age when we need to pray and ask the Lord for miracles, then it's this day. Joshua loved God. He believed God. He trusted in God. He wanted to do nothing but to serve the Lord. And he wanted to finish the course that God had set before him. You know what the word zeal means? It means eagerness. It means enthusiasm. Child of God, in order to do the work of God, the work that God has called us to do, we need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord would touch our lives afresh. Oh, we need to pray for miracles. We need to pray that the Lord will come and give us great faith and great zeal. But don't forget and don't lose sight of what Joshua here is really praying for. He's praying for God's intervention. He's praying that God would do something special as he fought the battle of the Lord this day. Because he prays, and look at the prayer again at the end of verse 12. Sun, stand thy still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Achalon. Oh, do you pray for miracles? Child of God, we've already said that God of heaven is the God of miracles. There's nothing impossible with him in your situation. And I don't know what your individual situation is. Only you know.
You know the valleys that you're in. You know the problems that you're facing. You know the difficult situation that you're found in today. And maybe, humanly speaking, the situation is impossible. Well, pray for a miracle. Pray for God to intervene. Get down before the Lord. There's no knowing what the Lord can do. The Lord can do anything in His will. Why? That's why, no matter what our circumstances are, if we get down and cry unto God, and even when we don't have a promise, even when His word seems to be blocked from our heart for some reason or another, get down before the Lord and pour out your heart before Him. Maybe at that point the Lord will give you a promise. Oh, the need for a miracle. And the praying for a miracle. One final thing, and I know time's away. I want you to notice the giving of a miracle. Oh, not only was it a day of need and a day of prayer, but it was a day of mercy. Look what it says at the end of verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. God answered Joshua's prayer. He answered it miraculously. He answered it immediately. And He answered it publicly. Child of God, there's one great lesson here, and it's this. There's power in prayer. God answers prayer. Don't listen to the lie of the devil when the devil comes and tells you that prayer time is wasted time. Don't listen to the lie of hell when Satan comes and tells you that prayer time is wasted time, because it's not. There's power in prayer. If this answer to prayer in the life of Joshua does not encourage us to pray, then nothing will encourage us to pray. God's people need to get back to the place of prayer. There will be no miracles until we do. God sent this miracle as a direct result of Joshua praying. There's many examples we could give to that in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Before Pentecost came, the Holy Ghost fell. God's people were praying. What about Acts chapter 12 when Peter was put into prison? All hope seemed to be gone. Peter needed a miracle. If he was ever going to escape death on that occasion, read it for yourself. The Bible says that the church met together and they prayed specifically for Peter. And the Bible tells us, when you read the chapter, that God stepped into the situation and brought Peter miraculously out of the prison house. His chains fell off. The gates opened before him, and he walked free. God answered prayer in a very, very unique way. God still performs miracles. Every time a soul is saved, it's a miracle. Every time God answers prayer, it is a miracle. And it's only a miracle that's going to save this country from popery, ecumenism and sin. It's only a miracle that's going to deliver this nation from its iniquity. It's only a miracle that is going to take away the wickedness out of this nation in which we live. But thank God, the God of the Bible is the God who still works miracles. But we need to pray. That's why we have a minister's week of prayer at the beginning of each year for all of our ministers and students. Because we believe in prayer. That's why we have a week of prayer in our church here every year. Because we believe in prayer. That's why we have prayer meetings in this church on a Tuesday night before the services on the Lord's Day and other times. Because we believe in prayer and we believe that God answers prayer. Oh, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He said this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
And of course, that's a command in Luke chapter 18. But not only is it a command, it is our duty to pray, but it is our privilege to pray. What a privilege it is to come before the throne of grace in prayer. And of course, God answers prayer, as we have already seen. I wonder, has God answered your prayers in the year that has just gone out into eternity? Is God answering your prayers? Well, here is an example in the Bible of God answering prayer. And what a prayer it was. What a prayer it was. Sun, stand still. Sun, stand still. In Gibeon, moon, in the valley of Achelon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed. And what a miracle was wrought. Oh, child of God. Get your eyes, let us all get our eyes upon the God of miracles. And in this new year that we have entered into, let us pray that God will increase our faith and increase our zeal for him and his work. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And yet, Lord, we're conscious again that the old clock always beats us. But Lord, we pray that you'll bless your word. And oh God, even in this message this morning, that you would give us, Lord, a fresh glimpse of the God that we serve. The God that has saved us and redeemed us. The God of the Bible. We thank thee that the God of the Bible is still the God of his people today. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, that you would move by your gracious Holy Spirit in our midst. And O God, that we might in these days wait upon thee. O God, bless the week of prayer this week. And O God, we pray that you would touch our lives afresh. But O God, before we get before thee publicly, together, help us, Lord, to wait before thee in the private closet. O God, Joshua was a man who could pray publicly, but he could only pray publicly because he could pray privately. He knew how to wait before God in secret. O God, make us men and women of the closet. Bless your word to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.